What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.
Hey, Sal.
Hank, what's going on? We haven't worked a case in years.
I just bought my car at Carvana, and it was so easy. Too easy.
Think something's up?
You tell me. They got thousands of options.
Mm-hmm.
Found a great car at a great price.
Uh-huh.
And it got delivered the next day.
It sounds like Carvana just makes it easy to buy your car, Hank.
Yeah, you're right. Case closed.
Buy your car today on Carvana. Delivery fees may apply.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great, but all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Sierra, discover top workout gear at incredible prices, which might lead to another discovery. Your headphones haven't been connected this whole time. Awkward. Discover top brands at unexpectedly low prices. Sierra, let's get moving.
Whether the action is at the link or the bank, there's never an off day on Broad Street. It's the biggest news of the day, every day, with takes from someone who's never short on them. It's WIP Daily with Joe Giglio.
Welcome on in, WIP Daily, Joe Giglio with you. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast. Our YouTube feed is 94 WIP. Check it out there. All right, the pound of flesh has been delivered. The head on a stick has arrived. Kevin Pitullo out as Eagles offensive coordinator. No one's surprised. I was saying yesterday, I think we've given this guy too much of the pie of blame. But I'm not going to stand up and say he's got to keep his job. And I understand why the Eagles need to move on. And they've upgraded offensive coordinator, and now they have a chance to do that. So Pitullo out after 1 year. We'll see if he stays within the organization on the coaching staff. The report was a little conflicted yesterday, the way it was thrown out there. I could see him staying. I could also see him trying to go get a fresh start somewhere after a tough year here as the OC in Philadelphia. But now the attention turns to the potential search. And there's a lot of names. There really are a lot of names out there for the Eagles to go chase. And obviously some of this is going to be impacted by the current head coaching cycle, which has 9 openings. So, you know, if I'm an offensive minded coach, especially one that is getting head coaching interviews, obviously that's going to be the priority. I want to be a head coach. If I am a young coordinator or potential coordinator, and half of these jobs, let's say 4 of the 9 or 5 of the 9 go to defensive minded head coaches, those are potential landing spots as well, where I could go follow that. Let's use Chris Shula, right? Nate Shielhouse is a potential offensive coordinator, Rams. He works on the Rams staff under McVay. He's a name out there, right? So the Eagles interviewed him a few years ago. His name has come up a lot the last day or so as a potential Eagles coordinator, and he could be, but also he's getting some looks in the head coaching, cycle right now. And I would think just proximity and relationship, if Chris Shula lands one of these jobs, maybe he brings Shielhouse with them to be his offense coordinator and call the play. So the Eagles are competing against that too. So that is something to keep an eye on. But I've got 5 big questions after the firing of Pitullo as now we begin an offensive coordinator search here in Philadelphia. Number one, and this is the big one for me. Are the Eagles looking for the best mind, or are they looking to fix Jalen Hurts? I think it starts and ends there. Are they looking for the smartest person, the person who will bring the freshest ideas, the person who can move this offense forward, regardless of how that impacts Jalen Hurts? Or are they looking for someone expressly to get more out of Jalen Hurts? And you might say, well, Joe, those two things are intertwined. Well, yes and no. I think sometimes you could skip steps in a process to have an immediate return on investment rather than long-term success. And what I mean by that is, like, you know, there's a way the Eagles could try to win football games next year with Jalen Hurts very likely to be their starting quarterback, right? He's under contract. Even if the Eagles do use, let's say, a day two pick on a developmental quarterback, which I think they should, and I think they likely will, you know, the way they drafted Hurts in 2020 in the second round, it wouldn't surprise me if they draft a quarterback in the second or third round this year with that kind of same thought in mind, that it's almost a cheap backup slash hedge, and we see what happens. I think that that's going to end up happening. So is the person they're bringing in the best mind to be the offensive coordinator and put a system in place for long-term success over the next 3 to 5 years? Or is the person expressly being hired to increase the efficiency and overall play of Jalen Hurts for his next 3 to 5 years? Is it about the Eagles offense, or is it about Jalen Hurts, who right now is the conductor of the Eagles offense? I think those are, they sound similar, but the way I view it is they are far different. Similar, but far different in how the Eagles approach their decision-making and their interview process. And I think we might get I'm not going to say it's definite, we might get a tell by the hire, you know, depending on who it is, where he's coming from, what he's done before, all that. We might get a tell. We might not, though. Question number two, second big question I have as the Eagles offensive coordinator search begins. Do they want someone who will be around? You know, we are on this roller coaster of different coordinators in different years. Every year, there is a new coordinator here in Philadelphia. I mean, it is what it is. 21 and 22 is Steichen. 23, Brian Johnson. 24, Kellen Moore. 25, it was Kevin Vitullo. Is 2026, you know, Cliff Kingsbury, and he leaves to become a head coach, or Mike McDaniel, and he becomes a head coach again. And then we're back on this again next year where, you know, best case scenario, they're in a Super Bowl. We're in Los Angeles next February, and we're all feeling good about where this franchise is, but they're losing a coordinator again to a head coaching job. They're behind the cycle, right? It's February, and they have to go out and try to find, you know, someone who no one else wanted, or they have to promote from within again. And that has been a really poor, you know, just track record of Sirianni promoting from within his own staff. So is this time, and do you want to look for someone who will be around? And if you want that kind of coach, it's probably an older coach. You know, is ageism a thing in NFL coaching? I think it is. I think, you know, younger is looked at as better. And I get upside to that because you could have the same person for a long time. I also think there's been some pretty high-profile instances recently where a very, very successful older coach continues to either get a job or gets a different kind of job and flops. I mean, Pete Carroll with the Raiders flop. Bill Belichick in college football flop. His interview process in the NFL flop. So I think we're moving away from older coaches getting jobs. I think there's going to be, especially with Mike Tomlin retiring now, or stepping down for now. But I think there's going to be a scenario we look up in the next 3 years. And, you know, let's say the day Andy Reid retires, is anyone going to be in their 60s coaching in the NFL, like head coaches? Let's go through some of these coaches. I don't think Schottenheimer in Dallas, even if he lasts, is particularly close to 60. Sirianni's not close to 60. The Giants don't have a coach. We'll see what they do. Dan Quinn, I believe, is in his 50s. Maybe he's approaching that 60-year-old range. Ben Johnson, young. Kevin O'Connell, young. Dan Campbell, relatively young. Who am I missing in the North? LaFleur, young. Falcons need a coach. We'll see what they do. Liam Cohen. Wrong conference. Todd Bowles. Okay, that's guy in his 60s, but I don't think he's long for that job. There's talk about them getting rid of him this year. Dave Canales, young. So I'm just going through this. Kellen Moore, young. Mike McDonald, young. Sean McVay, not as young as he used to be, but still obviously very young. He's like my age, about 39 or whatever. Kyle Shanahan, young. Again, probably in his late 40s now, maybe approaching 50. But I think maybe he's in mid-40s. You know, relatively young. So Cardinals need a coach. Vrabel, probably around 50. Jets, Aaron Glenn, you know, maybe a little bit older because he was an assistant. Maybe he's 50-something, 53, 54. But he carries himself pretty young. Miami needs a coach. McDermott's probably in that mid-50s range. Again, it's hard. I mean, the two Harbaughs, I'm assuming Harbaugh's going to land one of these jobs. But I my point is, and I'll stop here. You know, I don't want to go through every coach. But there's very few coaches in their 60s. So if you want a coach that's going to be around, you probably want one in his late 50s or 60s because the odds are people aren't going to hire them to be their head coach. So two names that fit that element would be Frank Reich and would be Todd Monken. Now, Frank Reich checks a lot of boxes in that it's familiar. It's probably very comfortable for Nick Sirianni. It's comfortable for the Eagles. He's been here. He's been an offensive coordinator for Super Bowl champion. We have good feelings on Frank Reich. I think there's something to the Frank Reich idea, even if it is not like, wow, right? The other one that fits that bill, and this is one that the more I think about it, the more it just works, is Todd Monken, who did a great job at Georgia in college football. And obviously he's done a good job with the Baltimore Ravens the last few years in helping Lamar win an MVP. And Derrick Henry have incredible seasons down there, marrying the run game, the pass game, at times just wide open wide receivers, works with a mobile quarterback, made Lamar better as he aged. I think there's a real, and he's 58, 59 years old. I don't see Todd Monken getting a head coaching job in the NFL. So if you want the continuity, he could be the Eagles' offensive version of Vic Fangio. Our question number three I have as we move forward in this Eagles' offensive coordinator search is play calling experience a prerequisite? Do you need to have been a play caller, or will the Eagles be able to go and grab a Davis Webb from the Denver Broncos, a Nate Shieldhouse from the Los Angeles Rams? Do you need to have been a play caller? Will the Eagles, because it worked well with Moore and Steichen, it didn't work well with Brian Johnson and Petullo, will they shy away from guys who have not called plays before? That limits the pool, though. It takes away all these pass game coordinators that are underneath star offensive minds because they're probably not calling plays. Clay Kubiak, the next Kubiak up, he's under Shanahan in San Francisco. He's obviously not calling the plays. That's what Shanahan does. So are we eliminating him because he's never called plays? That's question three. Question number four is, does Nick Sirianni get a say? Does he get a say in this offensive coordinator? Are they going to try to marry Nick Sirianni's scheme with someone else's scheme? Because just a couple days ago, you had Devontae Smith said, the scheme is the scheme. It's been the same the 5 years I've been here. He's been here mirroring the whole era of Nick Sirianni. So that speaks to, even when it has gone well with Steichen, with Kellen Moore, it's been Nick Sirianni's scheme and they just have melded their thoughts into it. Or is someone able to come in here and just say, this is my offense? Let's use Brian Daboll for an example, who has strong personality and has run his own team before and has called plays for Josh Allen and Daniel Jones, knows Jalen Hurts from Alabama, and obviously has a relationship with Sirianni from their time with the Kansas City Chiefs. Is he willing to come in here and say, I'll run Nick Sirianni's scheme, or is it his scheme? And how much say does Sirianni have, or does the front office say, no, we let you pick a guy last year, you blew it, sit in the corner, we got it? Question number five, and I think this is a really underrated question, is what about Jeff Stoutland? So Jeff Stoutland.
It's Draymond Green kicking off my 14th NBA season and the new season of my podcast. And trust me, I'm not holding back. Listen to the Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Is held in such high regard for a reason. Stoutland University, the offensive line has been so great under him for so many years. This year, it took a step back. I blame injuries more than anything else, but it took a step back. And over the years, Jeff Stoutland has not just been an offensive line coach. He is now the run game coordinator. That is his job. He's in charge of the run game. And let's just use Mike McDaniel as an example. Mike McDaniel's background, Mike McDaniel, the way he rose in the NFL through different staffs in Washington, in Atlanta, in San Francisco to get his job in Miami. Mike McDaniel was a run game coordinator. He has his running game that he meshes into his offense. So, I mean, in perfect world, Mike McDaniel would say, of course I want Jeff Stoutland to be my run game coordinator, my offensive line coach. He's great. I want great coaches with me here in Philadelphia. But he also might say, I don't need a run game coordinator. I am the run game coordinator. This is what I do. So Stout, you could just coach the O-line if you want, but in essence, it's a little bit of a demotion for Jeff Stoutland if the Eagles go that route. Is that something they're able to do, willing to do? How high of a pedestal do they put Jeff Stoutland on to where it impacts the kind of coaches they go after? So the five big questions I have as we head towards an Eagles offensive coordinator search, is it the best mind? Or is it simply to fix Jalen Hurts? That's key to all this. Do they want someone who will be around? Because that points us way closer to Frank Reich and Todd Monken than it does to someone in their late 20s, early 30s that is going to fast-track his way to head coaching interviews a year from now. Is play calling experience a prerequisite? If it is, you know the names because we've heard the names because as football fans, we've watched them call plays against the Eagles on TV, Sunday Night Football, whatever, over a number of years in the NFL. If you haven't seen that, then they're probably not going to be a guy that the Eagles hire if that's the prerequisite. And are they so shell-shocked by the mess that was Brian Johnson, the mess that was Kevin Petullo, that they kind of box themselves out of that vein of person, perhaps? Does Nick Sirianni get a say? Or is it, hey, man, no more says. You had him and you blew it. And the final question the Eagles need to answer is, what about Jeff Stoutland? His role in all this? Is he untouchable? Is he going to limit their pool because they already have a run game coordinator and someone who takes care of that element of the offense? Five big questions for this Eagles offense coordinator search. I appreciate everyone listening, subscribing, following the podcast or YouTube feed, 94 WIP. Check it out there.
What's up? It's Draymond Green. I'm back for my 14th NBA season, and my podcast, The Draymond Green Show, is back too. This season, I'm breaking down games, reacting to the biggest NBA stories, and sitting down with teammates, rivals, and culture shapers. And trust me, I'm not holding back, on the court or on the mic. Two new episodes every week, new segments, big conversations, real basketball talk for the real hoop heads. Listen to and follow The Draymond Green Show wherever you get your podcasts. We're back, we're better, let's get it.